Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, how significant is Colin Kaepernick's ad campaign with Nike? Plus, Hall of Fame running back LaDainian Tomlinson is on set to talk Zeke and the Cowboys. And is Nick Saban mishandling his quarterback situation? Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
It was revealed yesterday that Colin Kaepernick will be one of the athletes featured in Nike's new campaign for the 30th anniversary of their slogan, Just Do It. The first look of the ad featured a shot of Kaepernick with the words, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." Kaepernick was signed by Nike in 2011, but wasn't used in ads for 2 years, which coincides with the time he started kneeling during the national anthem. His new deal with Nike includes his own brand of gear, according to Yahoo. And a Nike VP told ESPN, quote, "We believe Colin is one of the most inspirational athletes of this generation." Shannon, what is next for Colin Kaepernick?
What's next? Skip, we said during the Civil Rights Movement, it was when whites banded with Dr. King is that this thing really started. We started getting voting rights, Fair Housing Rights Act passed, and we got the Civil Rights passed. You asked this question, and I tried to answer, and I didn't know. When is the big white quarterback going to say, you know what, I stand with you, brother? Not dilly-dally around and says, yeah, I feel what Colin Kaepernick is doing. No. When are you going to join? When are you going to link up with Colin? This is Moby Dick, Skip.
So you're saying Nike is that?
Nike is the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, that guy that we're looking. They're all, Nike is all that in one because it is a big, they're around the world. China, everybody knows the swoosh. I don't have to have any, it just goes by the logo. How about that, Skip? The logo. That's what it is, the logo. And when you have that as your backing, his influence is now going to increase exponentially. Because if you notice, like LeBron goes around the world representing Nike. Russell
he's
Westbrook.
He's doing it right now.
Yeah.
Every day I look up and he's in a new country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You stalking him?
Yeah. I follow him. No, I don't.
Exactly.
I follow him on the internet.
Exactly. So, Skip, the next step now is that Colin Kaepernick, I would not be surprised is that within the next month or so, we see Colin Kaepernick on the tour. The speaking tour, where he goes and he talks to kids, minorities and minority communities, know your rights, with the backing of Nike, and because this is huge, Skip. You know, everybody, well, okay, sponsorship and endorsement. Who's you know he was doing this with his own money, Skip. He was doing this. He took $1 million out of his own pocket. He didn't have the backing of corporations giving, like when they for Hurricane Harvey relief, and J.J. Watt, NFL's Man of the Year, raised $41 million. Cap came out of his own pocket.
He did.
And gave and gave and gave. Now he has a billion, billions of dollars, a corporation that says, Colin, we believe in what you're doing. Is an unbelievable thing. This is very, very inspirational. And for you to step out here on a leap of faith, you did, I mean, your skill set said that you should have still been a quarterback in the NFL, but you were willing to sacrifice that because you saw what was going on and you thought it was unfair, it wasn't right. And when people were not being held accountable for their actions, you say, this is not right, America, we're better than this. And people ostracized you, they castigated you, and they said, you know what? You're not playing in our league anymore. We're gonna take our ball and we're gonna make you go home. Nike says, nah, just do it. We want you to be the face of a slogan. Jingles are catchy. Skip, certain jingles, you know, I remember growing up as a kid, I know you remember this, just way before your time. Libby, Libby, Libby on the label. You will like it, like it, like it. Yeah, no, stop it, Skip. Man, I can't even believe.
You
I can't even believe.
Say that's before my time. Sorry, Shannon, just but,
I remember it. I no, can't believe you,
can you just sing
fixated
again?
On that one.
No, I'm just saying, but there are certain jingles that just slogans that remain with you.
Yeah.
Bo knows. Everybody knows Bo, you know, be like Mike and just do it.
Just do it.
With all it,
it is.
Hey, don't second guess yourself. Don't let fear paralyze you. Don't get fixated on whether or not you just do it. And one of the faces of the Just Do It movement is one Colin Kaepernick who just did it.
He just did it. So, to your big picture point about it's time for him to speak on tour, I'm trying to remember the last time I heard Colin actually speak to the media, and I have to go back 3 years to San Francisco when he initially explained exactly why.
Right.
He was eloquent, man. Mm-hmm. He was powerful. It changed my whole view of what he was doing because I told you my first reaction was, what are you doing?
Right.
You can't disrespect the flag.
Right.
What are you... Oh, so that's why you're doing it. Oh, now I get it.
And don't forget, Skip, tell him who told him to take the knee. Nate Boyer.
Nate Boyer, who's...
Former Marine.
And he's white.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was... He encouraged him to take the knee. Okay. So when Colin explained all that, he did so convincingly that I thought, we're going to start hearing from Colin.
Right.
And then he went radio silent for a long time. And I know for a fact, because I heard from a couple of teams who said, we would love to at least visit with him. You know, mm-hmm. we would like to hear where his head is, where his heart is. Mm-hmm. Has he become full-time activist, or does he still want to be a starting quarterback in this league and do everything that's required to be a starting quarterback? And you would bring up the point, well, other people have all kinds of charitable activities going on. J.J. Watt seems to be all over the place doing,
Mm-hmm.
But teams just wanted Colin to speak to them, and for the longest, he just wouldn't speak. So I'm with you. I think he could be a powerful, that he's been the courageous face of a crucial movement mm-hmm. against police brutality in this country.
Right.
Now he could be a powerful voice because he is highly capable of being a very convincing voice. And I think it would do everyone good, including Colin, if he launched that phase of his career.
Right.
But does that mean... he's completely done with being a quarterback?
I believe so. It's just
do you?
3 years, Skip. It's hard. I mean, because even though I don't believe Colin is going out there every day, dropping back, throwing, trying to do all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
At least even when Ali, he could not fight, he was still boxing, Skip. He was still doing other things, although he could not fight anywhere. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, they took his passport so he couldn't go overseas and fight. So he couldn't leave the country.
Yeah.
I don't think when Muhammad Ali took his stand, Skip, I don't think he thought that 50 years from that day, he would be what he is today. I don't think he thought that. That was the last thing. He says, I don't believe because of my religion that I should be required to go across the country and kill somebody that's done nothing to me.
That is what he said.
He said, Viet Cong ain't never called me an Indian. They don't turn no dogs on me or no water hose.
That's correct.
The man that does that, want me to go across there.
That's what he said.
Colin Kaepernick, I don't think he thought, well, man, I can still play. I'm playing. I'm in the NFL. Just 2 years removed from taking the team to the Super Bowl. I don't think he thought that this would cost him his career.
Nope.
Because he thought that 2 years removed from a Super Bowl, man, that's going to buy me some time.
Yep.
But he did it because what he saw, this isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
I see young brown men and women being killed. Mm-hmm. And there's no accountability for the action Mm-mm. or the perpetrator that took their lives.
That's what he said.
That's not right.
Yep.
I see what's going on in America. Mm. That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? This is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. To draw attention.
Yep.
And then when you ask me, because here's the thing, Skip, when you ask me, man, why you do that?
Yep.
Then I tell you. But then even when I tell you, you say, no, that's not why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You're doing it to disrespect the flag.
Yep.
You're doing it because you don't want to face the actual issues of what I'm telling you. Because you know what? Right now, these issues not knocking on your door.
That is correct. So the new Kaepernick slogan for his new Nike campaign is believe in something even if it means sacrificing. Well, there's some irony there because he's not having to sacrifice financially because they're going to pay him a whole lot of money, like NFL star caliber money, to do this campaign for Nike, the new Just Do It.
Correct.
But he did sacrifice his ability to play in the National Football League, and I believe that still hurts him. I don't know him, but don't you think deep down, I mean, what did you miss the most about the NFL? Just playing in the NFL. Right.
Or being around the guys. But, and the thing is, you know why it hurt, Skip? Because he didn't have a career threatening injury.
Mm-mm.
If you have a career threatening injury, you know, although it's hard, like, man, but when you know and you know others know that you can still play.
And it wasn't like he failed his last year. That wasn't his best year, but he had a couple of big time games the last year in San Francisco for a bad team.
Exactly. And so when you know you can play and others know you can play, but because of an act that you did, has inhibited your ability not only to play, Skip. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just took him off the board.
Yeah.
And then when some people did invite him in, they just sit there and just talk to him.
Yep.
Nothing about, playing, nothing about, drawing something up on the board.
Yep.
They just talk.
So I told you early in the show, my fairy tale right now, it's almost like a fantasy would be that Jerry Jones would step up to the plate and sign Colin Kaepernick to be the backup quarterback he does not have on his roster right now. He's got two kids behind Dak. I don't think they can play.
No.
Is that going to happen? Almost certainly not,
no.
Because Jerry's been the strongest against kneeling, and I think he's a President Trump confidant. Can I go that far? They've had phone conversations. Yeah. And yet, he's also very close. This is where the mixed emotions come in, to one Phil Knight, owner and operator of one Nike. Phil Knight specially made Jerry a pair of Jerry Jones Memorial sneakers. Remember that he could wear for his Hall of Fame induction? Mm-hmm. And he proudly wore them on stage.
He did.
Remember that?
Yes.
Straight from Phil Knight. So they are very close and have been close for a long time. So there are a lot of cross ties here that are very interesting.
No matter the issue, the one thing that Jerry Jones loves more than issues is money.
Yep.
And he felt that the kneeling was costing him money.
That's right.
Jerry looks at it, Skip, if one person refuses to buy a beer or any piece of Dallas Cowboy merchandise because Colin Kaepernick took a knee, I'm losing money.
Well.
But here's the thing here. Nike money, he's going to get that money regardless.
He's going to get it. And if they buy Colin jerseys, I think the NFL is going to get
it. Somebody was buying it because he was top 50 and he wasn't in the NFL.
That is correct.
But did the NFL say, nah, we don't want his money. We don't want it. We don't want it. Because you took a knee. We don't want you selling these jerseys. We're going
to
pull them.
They
kept selling them, didn't they, Skip?
They did. Way to go.
No mercy.
In a surprising move, the Cowboys cut kicker Dan Bailey over the weekend. He was with Dallas for 7 seasons and is the second most accurate kicker in NFL history. They opted to go with Brett Maher, who has never made a regular season kick in the NFL. The Dallas Morning News points out that a chain of events that also includes not trading for Earl Thomas or getting a replacement tight end for Jason Witten could mark the end for Jason Garrett as the head coach in Dallas. Garrett has only made the playoffs twice in 8 seasons as the Cowboys coach. Shannon, do you agree that Garrett could be on the hot seat, could be gone soon?
No. The only way Jason Garrett be on the hot seat, Skip, if he walks out there Sunday in Carolina and takes a knee for the anthem. And you and I both know that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Skip,
I'm not even sure that would get him fired, but go ahead.
Will get him fired. Because this is what I don't get. Jason Garrett has no control of the final 53. Jason Garrett has no control over who they draft. So you're going to fire him because of what? If Jerry fires him, that's an admission of Jerry saying, I've made mistakes. Because he controls everything. Mm-hmm. Skip, he the one that told us Zeke, Dak, Tyron Smith wasn't playing in the preseason.
Yep.
Jason Garrett didn't tell us that. Who's coming and going? Who released the statement that Dez Bryant's not going to be on the team anymore? Jerry did that.
Yep.
So now, if all of a sudden things don't go well, we're going to blame Jason Garrett.
Yep.
When he got Coach of the Year, we didn't even give him any credit. I'm confused that cutting Dan Bailey and them not bringing anyone to replace Jason Witten, or for that matter, Dez Bryant, somehow is going to lead to the guy, he's the author of a book, The 10 Best Ways to Clap. You're going to fire him for what, Skip?
He's really good at clapping. There's never been a coach better at clapping than Jason Garrett. He claps when they fumble. He claps when they throw interceptions. He claps when they collapse. He claps all.
But it's always that golf clap. He does realize that he's at a football game. You can clap loud.
It's a slow clap. It's just a slow clap.
The positivity?
It's a robotic clap.
Yeah.
It's just robotic on the sideline.
Skip, the guy didn't get fired after going 8-8 for 3 consecutive years. He didn't get fired after going 8-8 for 3 consecutive years.
Has had some blips. He had the 2 big blip years, right?
13-3.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is what prevents Jerry from getting one of the top young coaches, Skip, because if you want to be a head coach, there's probably no better job to have than the Dallas Cowboys because of the prestige and because of the brand. But all you have is the job and title. You have no say. Skip, you think John Gruden could work for Jerry?
For about a day.
Exactly. And that's the problem. Yeah. So I don't know why Jason Garrett all of a sudden.
By the way, I used to see John Gruden scream at Al Davis after practice. I witnessed it several times. screaming matches at the top of both of their lungs and get away with it. Mm-hmm. Like Al would say, that's my guy, you know, that's my guy. He loved that because he had character. He had guts, you know?
And see, well, Jerry didn't like that because he had a guy that would yell at him and they had him two Super Bowls stacked up in the lobby.
He had a guy who would ridicule him in front of other staff members, which was not cool in Jerry's
book. And he ain't like that.
Mm-mm.
And see, Al thought that John Gruden was going to bring in some titles.
He
was willing to take you yelling at me.
That is correct.
But even after he got titles by Jimmy, he's like, nah, I got to let you go. So I'm surprised that this would happen.
I have to publicly admit it this week because we're heading into game number one this Sunday at Carolina. My friend Shannon Sharp has me on the run as a Cowboy fan right now because I don't have many legs left to stand on here. Mm-hmm. My emotions are so mixed about the question Jenny has asked because I am not a fan of Jason Garrett and have never really been. I've been on the record now for about 5 straight years. It's time to move on to get somebody who might ignite some spark in the locker room that Jason, like, you wouldn't want to play for Jason Garrett. You'd be sleepy-eyed by the time you got to kickoff, right? It's the same. I watched the series that was posted on Amazon. I watched all of them, and I was falling asleep listening to Jason Garrett's quote-unquote pep talks.
I thought it was motivating. Yeah. The one he had where he was cursing and had it.
He did curse a little bit, which shocked me because I'd never seen that before. So maybe the curse words are hitting home. I don't know. But I have such mixed emotions about this because the silver lining would obviously be if they collapse this year, then all of a sudden, I think Jerry Jones will be backed into the Dez corner. What did he just do that shocked the world? He finally cut ties with Dez Bryant because it became painfully clear Dez had become more trouble than he's worth.
Right.
Well, not that Jason's trouble, but at some point, Jerry, just by public shame and humiliation, might have to finally say, I give up. I got to go a new direction. Maybe he'll name himself head coach, which he's always wanted to do.
So does that mean that he has to go in a new direction by giving up the title of GM or giving up the VP title, Skip? Does that mean?
Well, he tried that with Parcells. Remember that? Yeah. I was shocked by that one because he tried a new direction. I'm going to let you run it. I'm going to try to stand back over here until he finally said, you know what? For box office, we got to bring in this guy, number 81.
Exactly.
Terrell Owens. And Parcells said, no. Not on
my watch
or on my life.
Yeah.
And what happened? Terrell and Bill clashed right away, and he wouldn't even call his name in public.
Player.
The player? He wouldn't even say his name. Well, that was the beginning of the end between Jerry Jones and Bill Parcells, and it never obviously produced a Super Bowl. So this team, this Dallas team, has become the hardest to figure in the NFL because there is so much to like about this team, and I'm going to hang on to that, but there's also so very much to doubt about this team, and most people have fallen into the doubt camp.
Right.
Because most people I'm seeing do not have the Cowboys in the playoffs. I'm still barely hanging on and hanging in with the Cowboys in the playoffs. I still have this weird feeling that they're going to be better than you think they are. But by the day, every time I open up my computer, there's more bad news. Seriously, like I'm afraid now in the afternoon to look at any of the websites because it's going to be bad news, right?
Yeah.
Has any team had more bad news through the offseason, through camp than this team? Yeah. Can I remind you just briefly here, David Irving, he's a stud now, gone for the first 4 games. Terrence Williams, he's become their second best receiver. Remember what happened to him? He was arrested on suspicion of public intoxication after he had wrapped his Lambo around some light pole. Remember that?
He goes home, gets his bike, rides the bike, right?
That's only in Cowboy Nation, right?
Only in Dallas
could that happen. My man Rico Gathers, I keep saying he's the X factor, and now he's an X factor or whether he's even going to stay eligible. They did keep him on the 53-man roster after he was arrested marijuana
Rico
possession.
Just left. He left his medical marijuana license at home.
I guess he did.
He just had to go home and get it.
I don't know. And then, as you mentioned, Jason Garrett retires, and then I love Jerry
Jason
for
Whitten.
Finally. Huh?
Jason
Witten retires, and I loved it that Jerry had the guts to just say, I can't take Dez Bryant anymore, but if you're going to do that, you have to do what you say. You have to go get another quasi-Dez Bryant, right? You have to go get Sammy Watkins or somebody.
Right.
They got nobody. And DJ Moore is sitting right. I told you he's the best receiver in the draft. He's just sitting there begging the Cowboys to take DJ Moore.
Right.
Would I be excited right now with DJ Moore? Would Dak be excited with DJ? Nope. Leighton Vander Esch. Seriously? That's all you got?
Or the big Sutton kid from SMU, Skip, yeah, he's right there in the backyard.
Okay.
But Skip, how can you coach if, let's just say I want to give a message to my team, but the owner gives the message that doesn't coincide with what I say? How does that work if the owner has a radio show, a TV show, and he's speaking on things that normally that's reserved for 31 other coaches?
But Jason has swallowed that from day one, and that's why Jerry loves him.
And that's why if the things do not go well, that's why it wouldn't be an indictment on Jason Garrett. It would be an indictment on Jerry, because Jerry really coaches the team. Mm-hmm. Jason Garrett just has the title. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that Coach of the Year trophy is in Jerry's house. You ain't know that? Oh, yeah, that's where it's at right now, on his mantle.
All right. So, two of the best offensive linemen in all of football are Travis Frederick and Zach Martin.
Yes.
And what happens? Travis Frederick's got some bizarre sort of autoimmune disease. Where did that come from? God bless him. But now I don't know if he's going to be there in game 2, 3, 4, 6. I don't know. And Zach Martin hurt his knee. It wasn't the worst, but is he going to be there for game 1? I'm not sure about that. And Dayton Jones, they went and got. He's really playing well. And then he wrecked his knee, and he's on IR, so there's another loss. And then to add all this up, then they cut the most accurate kicker.
Second most.
Out. For a long time, he was the most accurate. Like last year till later
Tucker,
in the year.
Tucker finally passed him,
but that was because he went into a slump. And it just shook me up, because you keep some kid who's never kicked in the NFL, and now I've got to hinge my pick and my season on a kid who's going to trot out there. You know it's going to happen.
Yeah, of course.
Because they are going to be able to run the ball and ball control. That's who they're going to be.
Yes.
Okay, the defense. I love the front seven of the – I love it. I'm using the word love. The back four, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Skip, you know it always happens like this. When you play baseball, they get an outfield or infield. Where does the ball go? It finds him.
Yeah, it
so you know early on the game is going to come down to his foot. And –
So I keep waiting for Earl Thomas. He's the magic move. He erases everything. What you've called him that, right?
Yes.
You've called him the ultimate deodorant.
He's makeup.
So any blemishes you got, he can cover it up. He could cover all these blemishes in one fell swoop if you just say, Earl Thomas, come on down to Dallas.
And they got $3 million from cutting Dan Bailey, so they got some money up under the cap, Skip.
They already had enough. I don't know. But has Jerry been convinced by the coaching staff or maybe by the draft staff? Our kids are special, Jerry. They're special. They're fine young men.
Are you trying to tell me Jerry got the yips? He can't pull the trigger now? Because you know back in the day now, Charles Haley, Dion, Skip, think about it. He gave up 2 first rounders to get Roy Williams. Mm-hmm. He gave up 2 first rounders to get Joey Galloway. You know Jerry Jones, even if he couldn't swim, he jumping in head first.
Well, he wanted to give up X, Y, and Z to go get Paxton Lynch, and that didn't work out for John Elway.
He can have it right now. Mm-hmm. He can get it for nothing.
Can get him for nothing. And that's when Dak Prescott fell into his lap in the fourth round,
Sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make.
But he publicly declared his frustration over, we should have pulled the trigger.
And somebody talked him out of it, just like they talked him out of Johnny Manziel, and they took Zach Martin. That worked out pretty well for him, Skip.
So, you know what? I'd like to be on the fly on the wall when Chris Richard, the new coach of the back four, the secondary, who used to be Earl Thomas's coach for 8 years in Seattle, I'd like to know what he's saying to Jerry Jones right now. Mm. Is it possible he's saying, Earl's a little on the downside? I don't know. I can't see how Earl looked like Earl last year.
He looked like Earl to me.
Right?
He can still separate people from the ball. He can still cover a lot of ground and get the ball out of it. And that's what you need, Skip. When you play that defense now, You locked up on the edges, and you need somebody that can come out of center field and bat the ball away one way or another. You need someone that can make tackles in the open field, and that's what Earl Thomas can do.
And by the way, 2 of the 3 safeties are down right now, and I don't think they're going to be able to play game 1. So you're going to have to throw some kid in there I've never heard of at one of the starting safeties, if not for Earl Thomas.
Right.
And Jeff Heath, he's another one of those kids. They love Jeff Heath because he's such a fine kid, you know?
He's more of a special teams guy, Skip.
Right.
He's one of those guys, Skip, that we have in practice, and you're like, we got to get Jeff Heath on the field.
Yep.
And then when we get him on the field, we got to get him off the field. He's a great special teams player, and if somebody gets hurt during the course of the game, Skip, but when people get you on film over the course of 3, 4, 5 games, they can take advantage of your weaknesses.
So I still got Dak, and I still got Zeke, and I still got a semblance of an offensive line, and I still got a pass rush. And I still got Jason Garrett.
And you got LeSean Lee.
Yeah.
So, and we got some do bet on Sunday.
We don't have any Sunday. We got to bet on the season.
We got to bet.
I haven't bet on game day. I have not bet on
you
Sunday.
You got to opening day. Who doesn't bet opening day?
Let's do it.
Friday, we'll do that.
Okay.
I need time to see how much more bad news is going to happen. No,
stop.
We got three more days of bad news, right?
Don't check your news feed anymore. Like, you don't need any more bad news. List one on. No mercy. Our next guest is one of the best running backs in NFL history. His 145 rushing touchdowns are the second most ever, behind only Emmitt Smith. And he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame last year. LaDainian Tomlinson, welcome
to
Undisputed.
Oh, it's great to be on. I watch you guys show all the time.
Thank you.
It's an honor to have you.
Skip, we went back in, I think it was 2002, dude put up 200 rushing on us and caught 10 balls.
Did he?
Yeah.
And you lost again?
I was hurt. I broke my collarbone.
Yeah.
I wasn't in there. I wasn't
in there. You won in there.
Yeah, they already know.
So you only brought the story up because you knew you didn't play.
No, LG, well,
he knew something special.
Yeah, something special happened. He put that work in on us that day.
Yeah.
I said, get him.
Yeah.
They like, we can't.
And at that time, they had Al Wilson.
Yeah, we had
you know,
we had Little D.
Well, all of a sudden, you're the second best Hall of Famer at this table.
Okay, I take that as okay.
Well, am I right?
Okay.
Okay.
No, I beat his team more than he beat my team.
That might be true.
Might be true.
Yeah, because
I think I'm 3-0.
Yeah, because you were gone.
3-0. If he thinks he might be, then he is.
Huh? Yeah,
you looked it up.
No, I think I'm 3-0. I might be 3-0. I'm not sure, Skip. In my last game against him, I put up 3 tubs.
Wrote the record. Look at it.
We are glad you're here, and we like to do something around here. Talk about the Cowboys. So let's start there. Ezekiel Elliott is the most valuable player on the Cowboys roster. According to the Dallas Morning News, the paper ranked all 53 members of the team based on their value, and Zeke was first, followed by Dak and Sean Lee. So, LaDainian, who is the most important Cowboy?
Dallas Morning News is correct.
Really?
It is Ezekiel.
That hurt. You know, that hurt. You heard it, Skip. No, you heard it. You heard it.
Well, you just fell to the second best Hall of Famer. Go ahead.
But, you think about from the day that guy stepped into the building, he was the most valuable. In fact, they drafted him to stabilize that whole team, including the defense. Now, we knew at that time.
I thought they were going to take Joey Bosa, silly me, but
well,
go ahead.
We all did. We all did. But Jerry and Steven, they had different ideas because they knew that the Cowboys needed to get better running the football and stabilize that offense because they had tried to do it passing the football all over the park.
And by the way, Darren McFadden had been pretty – he'd had a 1,000-yard year, but go ahead.
He was okay, but you never could depend on Darren to be available.
No.
And that's the thing Zeke was. He was available. He's been durable.
Unless he gets suspended, but that's what make no.
But see, that's the problem. It's evidence in his suspension.
Yeah.
That's whenever he got suspended, what happened? The Cowboys struggled because they didn't have a run game. It was all on Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. And we knew Dak wasn't ready to be the main guy on that offense. And he's still not. And that's okay.
Ooh.
Maybe eventually.
Maybe he
will grow into that position. But right now, Skip, it's all about Ezekiel.
When's it my
As
turn?
Ezekiel goes, the Dallas Cowboys
go.
I need to take on both Hall of Famers at once. Be my guest.
Well, here's my thing. I got Zeke 1. I got Tyron Smith 2. Because you saw what happened with Tyron Smith.
Now this is just pure blasphemy. I'm going to have to leave because we're going to get struck by lightning.
Did you see what happened when Tyron Smith went out?
Yeah.
Could you run the ball?
Well, if
could
you have Chaz Green as your backup.
They
didn't have Big V as their backup.
Hey, you saw what happened with Big V.
Well, Big V won the Super Bowl for that. He protected. Was he not just like airtight in the Super Bowl?
Skip, first of all.
Did they put any pressure on Nick Foles in the Super Bowl? Zero.
Okay, how about this here? The first guy, Dallas Morning News has it right. I agree with LT. Ezekiel Elliott. Because when the Cowboys had their most success in 2014, what could they do? DeMarco Murray ran the ball for 1848. He was Offensive Player of the Year. Tony Romo had his best statistical season. He finished second in the MVP voting. So Jerry Jones says, you know what? In order for us to get back to doing that, because we don't have DeMarco Murray, we need to get somebody. We need a bell cow running back. Mm-hmm. As he said, we can't depend on Darren McFadden. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he might go for $130, but he might miss the next 4 weeks with a ticky-tack injury.
Yep.
So let me get a guy that hasn't missed a whole lot of time, who's durable. As you mentioned, you love to mention his stats in that run. The Big Ten championship and against Alabama and against this team.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned all those numbers. Mm-hmm. So Jerry said, I need me a bell cow. Well, if you got three of the five top six offensive linemen in all of football, what do you go get? You go get you a bell cow, you play, you run the football. It keeps your defense fresh because they're a little undersized, Skip. They're not great. They don't have a whole, and they got more talent than what they had before.
They're about to be much better.
But they stay fresher. So now you can control the clock by handing him the ball. So there's no question whatsoever. Everybody knows it except you that Zeke is the most important cowboy.
So I'm going to give our guest a little break here because he's blinded by the gold jacket that he occasionally wears, and he won that gold jacket running the football, and he was one of the all-time greats.
The
maybe not Eric Dickerson, but he's up there somewhere.
In Texas, the 21, though, 21 LT.
But what you both are missing the big point of here and missing the boat on is this is a quarterback's game. In the end, you go as far as your quarterback takes you. And my guy, Dak Prescott, took this team all the way to 13-3 as a raw rookie fourth rounder thrown into the fire in place of the beloved Tony Romo. And he rightfully won, Dak Prescott, the Offensive Rookie of the Year over Ezekiel Elliott. Am I right about that, Mr. Hall of Famer?
You do. What tier is he? What tier of a quarterback is he?
Well, my favorite stat is called QBR, scale of 0 to 100, and he had really the first best until the last game of the season as a rookie, but he finished third, and then last year he plummeted all the way to fourth. So I'm going to say he's top five. That's what he is. Statistics would scream at you he is top five in efficiency and productivity. In the two turning point games of the year last year for my Dallas Cowboys, with the Ezekiel cloud hanging over the team the whole year, you know it did, and it's not that easy to focus because from week to week, it's like, is he or isn't he? But he was. He got to play in games 4 and 5. These are home games against the Los Angeles Rams and the Green Bay Packers. And if my team wins those two games, they're going to start off 7-1. And we're having a whole different conversation right now. And Ezekiel Elliott played in those games, and he played pretty well. He had 21 for 85 against the Rams, and he had 29 carries for 116 against the Packers. But what happened in both games? Dak Prescott played sensationally well. I think he played his two best games of the year. His QBRs were 81 in the first game and then all the way against Aaron Rodgers to 97. But what happened in the second half? They had big leads going into halftime of both games, and they fell apart in the second half because they did not have Sean Lee on defense. So the way I'm going to rank these three players is, I think we saw it in that game. One is still Dak Prescott, but 1A I'll give to Zeke. But 1B, and I'm only going to give him 1B, is Sean Lee because he is huge to that defense. Way more important than you think he is to the defense. The
more
defense
important than
DeMarcus
Lawrence?
Heck yes. Sean Lee, guess what? When he was out last year, he missed 6 games. They went 1-5 in those six games.
Where did they go without Tyron Smith?
1-5.
Where did we go without Tyron?
They don't have a backup for Tyron.
They don't have a backup for Sean Lee.
Okay, but he's irreplaceable, completely irreplaceable. He's the coach, the heart, the soul, the quarterback. He's everything in the defense.
Jalen Smith is about to take over that spot.
You know what? Jalen Smith is going to make a Pro Bowl, if not this year, the next year, because he turned back into that guy who played at Notre Dame. I give you that. But Sean Lee is the guts of it. He's the heart of it. They're going to go as he goes because he can play the pass. You say Luke Kuechly is the best. I got this guy. I got this guy.
No, I got this guy. But if you don't mind me asking, Skip, you talk about that his rookie season when Dak won Rookie of the Year.
Rightfully so. He did.
So what am I going to do about the guy that's led the league in rushing with 1,600 yards and 15 touchdowns? What am I supposed to do with that?
It's a passer's league. In the end, it's a quarterback's league.
And
you just can't deny that. You just go as far as your quarterback will carry
you. But you're saying there's no correlation between Zeke playing well and Dak
playing well? You got to have some defense. But the quarterback is it in this league. And he is it.
And what happened when he didn't have that running back? Well, that was his chance to show, I can go it alone.
He didn't have the running back or the middle linebacker.
Or the left tackle.
Okay. Well, after a while, if you take those three away, what's going to happen to the quarterback?
Tom Brady does it. You say Brady. Yeah. That's what you told me.
I think you just made a strong point.
You told me Aaron Rodgers does it.
No, I don't say Aaron Rodgers. I say Tom Brady. And you just made my case. Thank you very much. No, you just stepped right in.
I'm saying you say Brady doesn't have anybody.
He has nothing. He has nothing. Okay. He's got a makeshift offensive line.
Why can't Dak?
He's got a bunch of no-names at receiver. Okay. I don't even know who they are.
With no Zeke, no Tyron Smith, no Sean Lee, why can't Dak do that?
Okay, well, because what did our man just tell us? He's only entering his third year in this league. It's hard.
So that's why he's not the number one guy now.
He
may grow into that position.
I think he is as
but right now, it's still
and
Zeke.
I think he will be this year.
Mm-mm. Zeke.
No. And by the way, Dak can run it a little bit too.
Yeah, but we don't want him to do that.
We do.
I heard you earlier talk about Dak not having a backup.
Yeah.
And how they might need to go get Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Right? So why do you want him running the football? He don't need to run the football because we don't want him to get hurt.
That's a good point. Right. Now we got no insurance.
Yeah.
But you know what? He is a big man.
He is.
He's but your basic 6'2", 250.
They'll break you down, though, Skip.
I know. They always do.
LT played running back. They'll break you down.
It will.
But you know what? He seems to be able to take the beating.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, okay. But you can't make a living running into these guys. Shannon knows that.
Not in the quarterback, but you definitely ain't going to make it.
This is a special young man.
Oh, Zeke is. Zeke is really special. Yeah, I got HOF on him.
Do you?
Yeah, oh, Zeke. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What have I already told you? I think he's going to have a big, special breakout
year. I think
he's
going to
He
said Zeke's going to break the record.
I think he
could
break Eric Dickerson.
Oh, man.
I got
it. 2105, 2105.
But without Travis Frederick.
Well, I don't know how long he's going to be out.
And then how long, how is Tyron Smith back going to hold up?
No, I don't know.
That's a big question mark, too.
Mm. You got a lot of question marks.
I got more questions than answers, unfortunately.
But, I mean, they should be fine. It doesn't matter if those guys come or go. I mean, you got Dak, and Dak should be, you know, be able to deliver you. That's what you're telling us.
He will. He'll deliver us from evil.
Okay. You know? Oh, really? Okay, now.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, we're going to see.
I love
we're going to see the deliverer from evil.
You're fitting in well here. I appreciate you being here. I think this is going to work. No mercy.
Do you see all those empty seats around you? Those are missing brothers and sisters. Love calls us to bring them home. They need to know that God is not done with them, that He has not abandoned them. God wants them to come back to Him. And if they are willing to turn to Him with just the tiniest seed of faith, He will show them that nothing is impossible.
Ladainian Tomlinson is still with us, and that was a clip from his new movie, God Bless the Broken Road. So, acting, is this a new career we're trying out?
Well, I mean, trying out, definitely. I don't know if I'm going to make it a career, but it was fun. You know, it was a different challenge, and the story is about a young woman who loses her husband in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And she's left to raise her young daughter by herself, and she loses her faith. Mm-hmm. And as the pastor of the church, I'm, you know, tasked with helping her regain her faith. It was done by the director, Harold Cronk, who did God Is Not Dead and God Is Not Dead Too. And this story, guys, it really will inspire and bring hope to a lot of people. Because I think we can all, you know, kind of reflect and understand that we're touched by our military in some way, either directly or indirectly.
You sound like a minister, for real. That wasn't that. You sound like
growing up, you know, growing up in a small country town, you know, that's part of Sunday.
It is. Yeah. I did not know you had that in you. That was impressive.
Thank
because
you
weren't just playing you were playing a part.
Yeah.
Not that easy.
And that's the toughest thing, because you're telling a story, and I'm reading the script, you know it's a story that it has to come out on film.
Right.
But you know, being a player for all those years, you learn to take coaching. And that's the one thing that I did with the director. Take coaching and try to do it the way he wants it to be done.
Well, look forward
Thank
to
you.
It. Yeah, and you may be just trying out acting, but one thing you definitely know well are running backs. So let's talk about it with the Steelers, because they're opening their season this Sunday in Cleveland, and for now, they don't have Le'Veon Bell. He is still holding out, hasn't signed his franchise tender, which will pay him over $14 million this season. GM Kevin Colbert said yesterday that the team is disappointed Bell hasn't signed, but things could change very soon. Center Marquise Pouncey told ESPN that he'll be there Wednesday. Bell didn't report last year until the Friday before the season opener, and he played 43 snaps in week one against the Browns. Okay, Ladainian, assuming Le'Veon returns to the team this week, what do you expect from him Sunday in this short amount of time?
Not very much. Pretty much what they did last year. They're going to ease him into the action. I mean, it's hard for a running back just to get out there without, you know, taking any contact and get 20 carries. You want to work him back into the game slowly. And it's funny to me that the GM come out and say he's disappointed that he hasn't signed. Well, I'm disappointed that they haven't signed him. You know,
long term.
You know, so he has the option to come in when he's going to come in. If you signed the guy, then he would have been in a long time ago, and we wouldn't be talking about how they're going to ease him in. And so he's going to get 10 to 15 carries, if that. And I actually think they're going to use James Conner a lot more this year just because of what he's done all offseason and how he's looked in the preseason.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's going to be Russ. There's nothing gets you in football shape like playing football.
Right.
You can run, you can pull sleds, you can lift and do all that, but that's not playing football. And he hadn't played football in a very long time. And the GM, Skip, see, the GM, he paid to have something delivered 5 to 7 days, but he wants it overnight. Mm-hmm. If you'd have gave his money, he'd have been there in the OTAs, he'd have been there in the mini camps, he'd have been there in the training camp. Mm-hmm. But you can't talk about paying something, you know, standard shipping, and talk about why didn't I get it next day before 10 a.m.? Mm-hmm. Because you didn't pay for that. Le'Veon Bell said, I see you when I see you. Mm-hmm. Long as I, because he hadn't signed the contract. Now, had he signed the contract, Skip, he'd have been docked all the time that he had missed. Mm-hmm. Since he hadn't signed the contract yet, I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up again on Friday. Mm. I might just show up on Saturday this time because you're not giving me long-term success. I mean, long-term commitment. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to show up when I have to, which will be before the game, sign the contract, mm-hmm. and go play.
So I've been watching and covering this game you guys played for a long time. And to me, the longer I watch it, the weirder the running back position gets to me because it's the oddest position in all of pro football because it's the one position that some kid can come straight out of college and step right into in pro football and just instantly take it over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's not a huge learning curve at that position because you either have this God-given ability or you do not. Now, you can refine it and tweak it and coach it, but again, you can either see it and do it or you cannot. And I saw an amazing thing happen to Emmitt Smith in 1993 because I was covering that Dallas Cowboy team. I can't remember where you were in 1993, but Emmitt was holding out. Do you remember
this?
Eighth grade. Yeah. Okay, in a small Texas town. But I assume you were you a Cowboy fan growing up?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Emmitt is holding out, and it is like a death game in Dallas.
It's the end of the world.
And they lose their first two games. And they lost at home to Jim Kelly's Buffalo. I forgot to look up the score. It was like 12 to 10. It was some real weird low score. And Charles Haley went in the locker room and took his helmet and threw it through the wall. It actually caved the wall in. And that's when Jerry Jones said, okay, I give up. That's enough. And he and Emmitt finally made peace and he
came
in.
And they lost a Monday night game to the Washington.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Yep. So, they're 0-2, and here comes Emmitt Smith. And he has low carries in the first two games, but he averages almost 6 yards a carry in the first two because he's Emmitt Smith.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he, trust me, he will not like me saying this, but Emmitt was no workout warrior. He used to get mad at me for saying this. But he sometimes had just a little bit of a tummy, and it just didn't matter. You know, he's a little bit squatty body, but it just didn't matter. He had legs, and he had quickness, as Norv Turner used to say, in a confined space where you just couldn't get a shot on him. You couldn't get a helmet or pad straight on him because he would duck and dodge behind those elephant offensive linemen, and you just couldn't corral him. Mm-hmm. You couldn't find him. And all of a sudden, he's just off to the races. And after missing the first two games as a running back, without any real workout, Emmitt won the regular season MVP. And then he went on and won the Super Bowl MVP. Mm-hmm. And they won it all. So my point about Le'Veon is you can get away with this. It'll be okay. Could it cost him in maybe first game? Maybe in the first game? Because it's going to be pretty tough at Cleveland. I think Cleveland's
going to be You just got to ease him in, Skip. Because, and you notice, like you said, he had a low workload.
Yep.
Because the thing is, you don't want to stress his muscles because he hadn't been running like that.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
So it's so easy to pull a quad, a groin, a hamstring, calf, and then you set him back, and now you're sitting there like, bruh, if you'd have been here. And he's like, bruh, if you'd have paid me, I'd have been here.
And he has had a history of some injuries.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't want to put him in jeopardizing.
But obviously, there's been a long period of time when people were drafting running backs and completely swinging and missing on the running back, which is why the position was, quote-unquote, devalued.
Right.
Mel Kiper, the great Mel Kiper at ESPN, would say, you can't take a running back in the first
round. Which is crap to me.
Okay, well, it is because of Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah. Like you said, he's rare. I think he's the best running back in football.
You know what it is?
But he's just rare.
You know what it is, Skip? It's not that because you can get a Hunt from Kansas City in the lower round and he leads the league in rushing.
Right.
It's because if you try to get, say, an offensive tackle or quarterback, you don't normally have the same level of success drafting those guys in the lower round as you do a running back.
Right.
And so they say, that's why they say it's devalued. Well, if I go get Kareem Hunt in the second or third round, maybe the fourth round, and he leads the league in rushing, why would I spend the number four pick in the first round to take a running back when I get the same thing?
Right. But isn't, you know, so Kareem Hunt, he's outplayed his rookie contract.
Yeah. Like, so they're not going to redo it. They can't redo it.
But so that's unfair to the running back.
Yes.
You know, running backs might play 10 years, but you get your value right away from day one.
Yes.
So what most of these guys outplay their rookie contract.
Right.
And so how do you devalue these guys when they're really overvalued at that point because of their rookie contract?
Well, how do you
Makes
fix
no
it?
Sense. Well, to me, running backs should be paid right away, you
differently
know,
than
differently
the other
than quarterbacks, than everybody,
okay.
Because you're going to get your because value right
his
away.
His prime years is at the front of the contract,
exactly.
What LT said.
Okay,
exactly.
Should they be paid differently after 1 year of proving?
No.
Okay.
No, you got to at least do it 2 or 3 years.
Okay,
so
right.
I'm a fan of if a running back does it 2 years in a row or even 3 years, then go ahead and redo the contract right away. So Kareem Hunt coming up.
Right.
If he has another big year, why not redo his contract?
Because the problem that I have, because you're not willing to read, he's like, well, you signed the contract. Okay, I signed that same contract, but I underperformed that you cut me on.
Exactly.
So the league, they want it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't say you signed the contract when I overperformed the contract and I want more money, but says, yeah, but you signed that same contract when I underperformed and you let me go. Because that's Dez's argument.
Yeah.
Dez was like, whoa, I still had 2 years left. Guys have 2-3 years left on the contract, mm-hmm. and they get released. The running back, his most value skip is in the first year, is his first contract.
Yeah.
Because you get him on that, he's in his prime. He's 21 to 25. Mm. And then it's like, well, nah, we don't use you up.
And that's what they're doing to Le'Veon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're doing to him.
They said we extend, no commitment. We got 12.3, 12.8 tied up in you. I believe they're going to move to James Conner, Skip. That seems to be the way they're heading.
Mm.
They're not giving Le'Veon. Somebody might pay Le'Veon. It won't be the Steelers long term.
Has Le'Veon shook you up at all with his style? Because I've never seen anybody do it like he does it, where he tiptoes and he tiptoes and he waits. You didn't run like that.
No, but you know, his style is so unique because we talk about defenders. Defenders are reactionary guys. Mm-hmm. So they wait for a running back or a wide receiver or a tight end to do something. They react to it.
Mm-hmm.
Le'Veon, it's beautiful the way he does it because he makes them react one way and then he breaks
right.
off their reaction.
He waits
which
until
is,
they react.
Which
He's
is,
reacting to them instead
yeah.
of them reacting to him.
Exactly.
This was all really interesting. Thank you for being here,
sure.
Danian.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Always good when you got him on his toes.
No mercy.
Nick Saban officially announced that Tua will start Saturday against Arkansas State, but he added that Jalen Hurts' skill set will be used, quote, in the future. Saban used both quarterbacks in their blowout win last Saturday, but he came under fire for his postgame interview with ESPN's Maria Taylor. Saban got testy when the QB situation was brought up. Then he called Taylor directly to apologize. We're joined by Fox College football analyst Joel Klatt. And I'm glad you're here for this, Joel, because
yeah.
I've been wanting to ask what you thought of it. But has Saban been mishandling the quarterback situation?
Well, I mean, yes and no, right? I think that his interactions with the press have been less than positive. However, I think he's been fair to both guys, and I think that's what he needed to do. You can say what you want about what happened last year in the national championship game, but it remains that Tua only played for one half, and their chips were in the middle of the table. He had to play Tua because of what was going on in that game, having to throw the football, and Tua made a couple of really bad mistakes. One, the interception, took the sack right before he threw the touchdown in overtime. So I think Nick, in the back of his mind, thought to himself, I believe that we're going to need to have this battle carry out into the beginning of the season. Even though all of us sat there and thought, boy, you've got a different dynamic skill set with Tua than you do with Jalen Hurts. Now, having said that, I think he was fair to Jalen because Jalen had just led him to two straight national championship games. Now, Tua may have won one of them, but Jalen led him there.
Right.
Only two losses as a starter. And as a player, that's all I can ask for is a coach to be fair to the opportunity that I feel like I deserve. And I think Hurts deserved the opportunity to start. And now, moving forward, Tua earned the opportunity to start.
Yep.
And I think that can be a distinction between the two. He's handled it okay. Publicly, not very well. Behind closed doors, as a player, I actually appreciate the way that he's handled it.
I agree. I think he's handled it as well as he could. A part of me thinks that he handled it this way because he didn't want Jalen Hurts to transfer.
Right.
And he knows that he's a hit away on his quarterback
yep.
from Jalen Hurts being back in the ball game. But what Coach Saban was able to see Saturday night, on 5 of the 6 drives, Tua led him to touchdowns. The only time that he didn't, the wide receiver fumbled the ball in the red zone.
He was great.
And then he saw Jalen Hurts. Now, he got upset at Maria Taylor in his apology. He said Marie. Now, maybe Maria has a twin named Marie, Marie and Maria Taylor, but that's neither here nor there. All she did was ask him, you had this going, this quarterback battle skip going in. After tonight's game, is anything a little clear?
Yeah. Do you have an answer?
Whoa!
It's the proper question.
It's the proper 100%. Question. How dare you try to make me take a side and put one of my... No, that's not what you try to do, Coach Saban. But look, he should have said it like, handled it like this. I got to look at the tape. Mm-hmm. But Tua did play well. Now, he made a play down there, his first touchdown, that might bite us later. We don't teach that you know, you're about to get sacked and you just throw it blindly in the corner of the end zone and the guy catches it. Skip, you talked about it yesterday. That's not what Coach Saban will preach, and he's not happy about that.
Yep.
But Tua right now is a better player at the quarterback position than Jalen Hurts.
That's true.
And I felt that Coach Saban was trying to be respectful because of what Hurts had done. As you mentioned, Joel, 26-2 is hard to argue. Taking you to two national championship games. Mm. But you're not winning that game against Georgia if Tua doesn't come in and do what he does. Mm-hmm. And so I think now we have a clear picture. You don't have to ask him anymore who's going to start, who's going to do this. Mm-hmm. Coach Saban wants Tua to go out there and play Arkansas State. I mean, hopefully this is a game with like 35-0 at the half. Mm-hmm. And then Jalen Hurts can bring it home. He can still get some work. But I would be shocked after the season, if Jalen Hurts doesn't transfer, he'll be one of those brand guys.
You're probably right. So, first of all, I loved Coach Saban's carefully scripted non-apology yesterday, during which he reached for, I pray on Sunday that I don't get angry, and he also reached for, mothers and fathers can sympathize with me with children because you don't want to vilify one and make a crown prince of another one.
Stop it.
Part I liked.
Stop it.
I mean, I got three boys. It depends on the day. Let's be honest.
So, way to go, Coach Saban. This is why I contend he is on razor's edge, and he was in the postgame interview on Saturday night. I don't think Tua is his cup of Gatorade. I don't think it's his style of quarterback play that he can sleep well at night with. Because, again, we talked about the first touchdown throw the other day and the other night. And then I remember the one, I'm watching my Vanderbilt Commodores getting shelled, and he comes into the game. Can we see this play? Because this is exactly
when he spins around.
Is Tua.
Yeah.
Tua, for blessing and curse. This is Tua against Vanderbilt last year. He looks like he's about to be sacked, but he spins around. He does a 360, and he just heaves it, and it's right on target. It's beautiful because he is a really talented kid who's going to play outside Coach Saban's box occasionally. He's going to try things. You can't try that. Oh, but he pulled it off because I'm sure Saban on the sideline is like, no. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
No, yeah. There are a lot of no yes with him.
It's true.
But is this the way he wants to win football games?
No.
I think not. But can you argue with it at this point?
No.
You cannot.
No.
Can you embrace it and trust it going forward? I think Coach Saban would tell you on a lie detector right now, no, you cannot.
I agree with
that. Which is why he wants to keep Jalen emotionally afloat as the 1A, you know, just in case things just fly apart one game against Arkansas State. I don't know if he comes out and throws three wild picks.
Yeah.
He wants Jalen to be emotionally stable enough to say, well, you didn't just push me, you know, to the end of the bench, that you treated me correctly.
Right.
And so he'll be there for him if he needs him. And he might need him.
Here's what's interesting for me is that there was another quarterback situation brewing at another power, Blue Blood, and the coach declared early in order for the other quarterback to go and get another opportunity. And I'm talking about Ohio State.
Yeah.
After the spring football game, Dwayne Haskins and Joe Burrow were competing, and Urban Meyer came out and said, Dwayne's going to be my starter.
He did.
In respect for Joe as a graduate, that he can go transfer and have an opportunity to play. So he did, and where did he go? LSU, and all of a sudden he's on one of the grand stages in college football week one and played pretty
played
well.
Really well, I thought.
For getting there, you know, one half of summer to work out with those guys. So moving forward, I think now the respectable thing for Nick Saban to do is not play Jalen Hurts in over four games. Because the redshirt rule changed this year. You can play in four games and retain a redshirt.
Right.
He can still redshirt. Okay? He played as a true freshman. So if this is going to be to his team, I would ask Nick Saban, if I was Jalen Hurts, don't play me in more than four games so that I can still transfer and have that sit-out year as a redshirt.
Right.
Now, I know he's closer
to
graduation.
Does he still get 2 years after that?
Well, he would have 3 years. Two years after that. Hmm. For me, it has everything to do with when he's going to earn his degree. Can he transfer as a graduate, or is he going to have to transfer with penalty?
I think he's going to be a graduate. I think
it's going to be very close. Yes. I think he might graduate this spring. But for me, that's where this is headed towards, right? So we can talk all we want about who's going to play next week or this week. If Jalen's not going to graduate in time and he's going to have to sit out once he transfers, I would go to Nick Saban and absolutely say, do not play me in over 4 games. So it's something to watch moving forward.
I just think Coach Saban should have apologized without explanation. Don't try to explain why.
That's true.
To Maria.
You're right.
I agree with you.
Because you ask your players to maintain, because he said, you know, the guys were getting penalties, they got dumb penalties, and all, they didn't contain themselves late in the ball game. Mm-hmm. The very thing that you get on your players for, you did.
Yep. So. It was the equivalent of an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Yes.
Except it was after the game.
Right.
Totally.
He was heated. He was heated. I mean, he did apologize. I mean, at least he did come out and say sorry. Coaches are heated. I actually am not.
But did he apologize to Maria or Marie
Taylor? I've had coaches be riled up to me, though.
Because I believe they're two different people.
They're two different people.
I think they are.
Maria handled herself very well. Joel, thank you for being here.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.